Matthew chapter 6, we're going to talk a little bit about fasting and prayer, and I want to just lay a couple of foundations for you. In the next 4 weeks on Thursday, I'm going to get into it, and we're going to talk about types of fast, why you fast, what do you fast for, how are you to fast to break certain things in your life. We're going to talk about a wide range of things that have to do with fasting and prayer. Matter of fact, here in Matthew chapter 6, if you're there, beginning in verse 1, I want to read a couple of verses and stay with me. Beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, but be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. Verse 4, then thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall also reward thee openly." There are three duties that are mentioned in Matthew 6 here, and there are three duties or three calls of every believer. And one is, here Jesus teaches there's three duties of every believer. One is to give. He talks about in verses 2 and 4 how we are to give in our alms, in our giving, to give sacrificially, how we are to do that. If you move to verse 6, it says, "But when ye pray, you enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So the second thing is, not only are we called to give, but we're called to pray. There is a duty to pray as believers, that Jesus says it is important for us as believers. In verse 16, he tells us this, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So he asked believers to do three things in Matthew 6, to give, to pray, and to fast. It is three duties that he points out, and I believe that these are not just callings, but they're disciplines. I believe giving, praying, and fasting are not only callings for believers, but they're also disciplines that should be a part of the believer's life. All three of these things should be somewhat a part of our life as believers. It should be a discipline that should be in our life. All of them have a wide range of importance as well as influence. They are the keys to opening the window of heaven and where the blessings of God can be released in our life. Jesus is telling us this. He's telling us these are three keys that will open heaven for you. These are three keys that connect you to God. Your giving, your prayer, and fasting, all three give you connection to God. They are empowering acts of faith that make the impossible possible. All three of these can make the impossible possible. And they're key factors in our faith. Now, when you look at Scripture, the Jewish calendar has 22 days of fast, or 22 fasting days, but most of those are what's called a memorial days, all but one. And the only one that is not is one that is the Day of Atonement, which they fast for a specific purpose. And they fast in humility, and they fast for the forgiveness of their sins. So in the Jewish calendar, 21 of the 22 fasts that are called in the Jewish calendar, 21 of them are memorial fasts. They're fasts that are national fasts that are called in memorial to a misfortune in Jewish history. So there are fasts that are called in memorial of something. Only one of them are called to fast for the forgiveness of sin, the Day of Atonement. They are to fast for a specific purpose. Now, the Pharisees and the Jews would fast on Mondays and Thursdays and of the week in the Jewish calendar. The early church, early Christians, would fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And so there were specific days. There's a history of specific fasting days throughout all of Jewish history. So fasting was a part of the Jewish lifestyle as well as the part of the early church. It was something the early church put great emphasis on and put great influence on. Not only that, we now have denominations, and many of them have what's called Lent, which is they fast 40 days before Easter. That's why we have all those wonderful fish fries we can go to all over the city on Fridays. And you get you some fish and chips on Fridays during Lent. And so so fasting has been a part of the Christian experience also. Jesus taught fasting will bring a blessing into our life, and that prayer and giving alone, listen, fasting will help bring things into our life that just prayer and giving alone can't do. When you take giving and prayer and you add fasting to it, you begin to unlock something. And you will see in Scripture, when you add fasting to prayer, when you add fasting to giving, that it unlocks something supernatural in the believer's life. There are some breakthroughs that will come, that will only come when a believer is fasting and praying, or when a believer sows a seed and fasts and prays. There are some things that only breakthroughs will come through fasting and prayer. We will look at some of those. And but there's three interesting statements here in Matthew chapter 6 that I find that is very interesting. And it says, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He says, when you give in secret, and you do it without being seen. The Father will reward you openly. When you pray, you go into your closet and pray. When you give, when you fast, you do it discreetly. You don't make a show of your fast. You don't walk around with bad breath and disheveled hair. And they say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm in the middle of a fast. And that's why you're disheveled. What he says is it brings attention to you. How many know men love bringing attentions to themselves? And so the power of fasting and prayer, an interesting key, is that what we do in secret, the Father sees and rewards us openly. And that is an amazing, powerful principle. Matter of fact, anointing that you see on men's life is just not there. When you see men who have anointing on their life, or people who walk with anointing in their life, it's not because they stand up and all of a sudden there's an anointing on them. There's a price that's paid for that anointing. And some of it is in the prayer closet and in the prayer time and in the Word of God and the discipline of isolation and the discipline of being alone with God. And it's openly seen, but it's privately caught. See, you want to do great things for God? You have to learn how to privately get alone with God. Read His Word. Pray. Get with God so that when you publicly serve Him, that openly there's manifestation of what's taking place out of your relationship with God. It is a principle. It's an interesting principle. But I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to mention a couple of things tonight. And I want to talk about the supernatural. And there are three things supernaturally that happen when we begin to fast and pray. It unlocks something in us. When you put fasting with prayer and giving, when you link them together, there is a supernatural release that takes place when someone adds fasting to their prayer life and to their giving. And, you know, it's interesting. At the beginning of this year, in January of last year, we were at a meeting in Louisville, Kentucky at Bob Rogers' church. And since we've moved here, we have been praying that God would give us a house that we could buy. And we have been praying for a long time. And we didn't just want any house. We just didn't want just anything. We wanted God to bring us the right house. And we were believing God for it. Matter of fact, just as a testimony, for many years, we never really thought we'd even own a house. We just thought that we were just serving God. We never thought we'd even make enough money to even afford a house. And in ministry, because when we stepped into ministry, we had already resolved that we had no idea where God was going to take us. And we had never settled anywhere long enough where we felt like a desire to even have a home. And so when we came here, all of a sudden God began to give us the desire to settle and to root here. And so we had been praying. So God spoke to me in 2016 in a meeting down in Louisville to sow a seed in the middle of a fast, to sow a seed toward a house for this year. And so in January, Walter Hallam was preaching, and he began to talk about the power of a seed and sowing a seed. And so we had sowed a seed that night, and part of that seed was sown to say, Lord, Lord, help us find a home. Help us find a home this year. And sure enough, through prayer and fasting, God was gracious enough to give us a home in this year. See, there's something supernatural that happens when our faith links up with our prayer and fasting. There is something that God unlocks in us when we begin to pray and fast and ask God to add fasting to our prayers. So these are just not callings, but they're disciplines. Fasting is a discipline that is in our life. So I want to talk about three things. Number one, here's what happens when God begins to unlock supernatural resources in our life. This is what He releases. Number one is God will promote you to a place that your abilities... where your abilities alone could never do. See, when you begin to fast and pray, God will promote you to a place that your abilities alone could never do. So when you begin to fast and pray, God will all of a sudden begin to give you the ability to do things that you normally would not be able to do had it not been for the Holy Spirit and for God. God will begin to promote you as you begin to pray and ask God. If you would, turn to the book of Acts chapter 13. I want you to see something that is very interesting. You will see in this story, and for sake of time, I won't read it all, but I'll give you somewhat of an overview. But in Acts chapter 13, here we see Paul and Barnabas who have been separated aside for the work of the ministry. Verse 1 tells us, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manan, and Saul was there also, and Barnabas. Now, of those five men, three of them were prophets and two of them were teachers. And verse 2 says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. You see that in verse 2? It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, get that? As they fasted, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do. All of a sudden, in this fast, in the midst of fasting and prayer, the Holy Ghost speaks. Isn't it good to know that when you fast and pray, the Holy Ghost is going to speak? How many would rather the Holy Ghost speak rather than we speak? How many would rather hear from God than hear from ourselves? And when you begin to fast and pray, there's a supernatural God begins to answer us through the Holy Spirit supernaturally. And so we don't get our own direction, we get God's direction. How many want God's direction when He instructs us? I don't want to live out of my own desire, but I want to know what God's direction is for my life. And so these men could have come together and they could have ministered to the Lord, but had they not fasted, they may have come under the opinion of what they felt was right to do. I don't want to do what I feel is right to do. I want to do what the Holy Ghost says to do. And so fasting and prayer connects you supernaturally to God, and it supernaturally unlocks the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. fasting and prayer will unlock the supernatural in our lives. And you will be promoted to do or to go and to serve in a place that is beyond your own ability. God will give you the strength and the ability to do something that is beyond your own strength. So Paul and Silas are called out. They're separated out. Now I want you to notice something. It said they fasted and prayed. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work unto I have called them." Look at verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them out away again." What'd they do a second time? They fasted and prayed. The first time the Lord said, "Separate Paul and Barnabas," the Holy Ghost said. But then once they had been instructed on what to do, they fasted again on where to go and how to minister. So they prayed and fasted again. Now, most scholars believe that the first fast was a 3-day fast. And then the second fast, they believe, was a 40-day fast. Scholars believe that they, through certain writings, they believe that this fast that they went on after they had separated Paul and Barnabas was a 40-day fast, a fast of preparation, a fast of preparing them to do what God was sending them to do. And it's amazing. Listen, you want the supernatural to follow you? You want God to use you? Then you find the time of fasting and prayer and preparation, and then God will bring the anointing. And when they left there and they literally transformed and turned upside down the world. Supernatural signs and wonders followed them when they left Antioch that day. And they went to Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. They began to see signs, wonders, and miracles that followed them. That wasn't there just because the Holy Ghost said separate them. That was there because they spent time in fasting and prayer. They were able to do through the Holy Ghost what they could not do in their own strength. How many want to do what we, how many want to work through the Holy Ghost and do what the Holy Ghost can do, even what we can't do? So our time of fasting and prayer in January is not to say that we are people who are fasting and prayer and to brag and say, "We are fasting and praying." You ought to. That pastor's as big as a house. He needs to fast and pray. Our attitude should be is, God, in 2017, you're going to call us to do something that we could not do in our own strength. But when the Holy Ghost gets behind us, we'll be able to do something we could not do ourselves. And you will allow us to transform and touch and do things that we normally would not be able to do. And it opens the door through prayer and fasting. It opens the door through fasting and prayer. God will open the door as we begin to corporately come into unity and we become together in prayer. God begins this to unify the vision and to give us focus on our call and to begin to place people where they should be with their giftings. And all of a sudden, as we move, as the Holy Ghost speaks, then God will bring signs and wonders that will follow. And so in Acts 14, they're no longer called teachers and prophets, but they're called the apostles. Acts 14, 21 and 23, Paul and Barnabas, they went back and returned back to the previous churches that they had gone to first, and they looped back around and went back to those churches. And how did they find those churches in Acts 14? They found them fasting and praying. Because I'm sure that when Paul and them went into those cities and they saw the signs and wonders and they said, "Where, what is this that is on you?" And they said, "You must receive the Holy Spirit." But not only that, the signs and wonders come through fasting and prayer. As a person fasts, as a church fasts, there will always be something that follows. There will always be something that follows people who give themselves to fasting and prayer. There will be something supernatural. Number two, fasting brings prayer to another level. Aren't you glad? How many know fasting can bring your prayer life to another level? Sometimes prayer alone don't bring an answer. We know that because in Matthew chapter 17 and Mark 9, we have this experience where Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is one of the greatest stories in all of Scripture. It's one of the most powerful stories in all of Scripture. But while Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the glory of God is on Him, and two or three of His disciples are with Him, the disciples below are dealing with a young boy who is demon-possessed. And the Bible says they are arguing with the Pharisees about what sin this young boy's parents committed for the reason why he is possessed. You know, a lot of times we spend more time arguing with each other than we do demonstrating the power of God. But people who fast and pray won't argue. They'll just demonstrate what God wants to do. And so they come down off of the mountain, and Jesus deals with this. And Jesus makes this comment in the midst of the story. And for sake of time, we won't turn there. But He makes this story. This kind only goeth out by fasting and prayer. Jesus cast the demon out of the boy, and He said that this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. What does that tell us? That tells us that there are certain spirits, certain demonic influences that can only be broken up and tore down and pulled down in the Spirit through fasting and prayer. There are certain things that only through fasting and prayer can there be breakthrough in, or where breakthrough will come. There are certain things in our lives that only through an extended time of fasting and prayer can we find breakthrough in that. Sometimes we get in situations that fasting must be accompanied by prayer in order for there to be breakthrough. I want to tell you, if there's something in your life that has been impossible, that's been a frustration, that has driven you to a place of where you feel hopeless, or where you feel like there's no movement on it in your life, if you'll begin to fast and pray, I believe God will begin to dislodge that disappointment, that influence, that thing that is not broken through for you. And I believe God will dislodge it if we'll just learn to begin to fast and pray. Because there's certain things that will only come out through fasting and prayer. He makes the impossible possible through fasting and prayer. He'll make relationships that are broken, He'll restore them back through fasting and prayer. Through fasting and prayer, He'll give you a miraculous breakthrough in your finances. Through fasting and prayer, spiritually, you will begin to grow stronger. And so fasting and prayer takes you to another level. When you begin to fast and pray, you become more sensitive to the things of God. When you begin to fast and pray, you begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. When you begin to fast and pray, all of a sudden your prayer life goes to another level. Because it's not that your prayer life is not good. It's not that someone who doesn't fast is any lower than anyone else. But through fasting and prayer, there's just something that unlocks the voice of God in our lives. When we deny our flesh and we deny the things of our flesh and our spirit begins to rise, all of a sudden there's a sensitivity to the things of God. All of a sudden we begin to see things spiritually more clear than we've seen them before. And it's all because we get this. There's this connection and unity that comes through fasting and prayer. So fasting and prayer takes our prayer life to another level. Number three, fasting and prayer releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, fasting and prayer will unlock the gifts of the Spirit in your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are to covet the most desirable gifts, or the power gifts. We are to covet those things. And what happens is when you begin to pray and fast, there's a natural release of the gifts of the Spirit that will begin to flow through your life. There are times that in my life, and I'm not going to mention any of those, but there's been a couple of times in my life where I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit that have literally transformed my life during time of fasting and prayer. Matter of fact, there is a healing that I received emotionally in the middle, at the end of a fasting time of prayer, that God touched me in the middle of the night one night. and by the Holy Spirit. And it was at the end, toward the end of a fast. I had finished a fast a few weeks earlier, and the Holy Spirit touched me. There are encounters that you will have with the Holy Spirit when you begin to fast and pray. There will be, I remember that time of fasting and prayer, that God opened financial doors for us. That we were in a place of desperation, and God had opened the door of financially for us. 2006, 2005, at the end of December of 2006, I was expecting a huge bonus from the company I was working for. And the employer said, "Well, I'm not going to pay you those commissions because of some reason." And I said, "Okay, that's fine. I earned them, but that's all right. I released them to you." And we went into January in a time of fasting and prayer. Well, in February, he comes to me and he says, "Pastor," that's the first time he used that word. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I need to apologize to you." He said, "I had a dream, and the dream literally scared me to death. And," he said, "I have cheated you out of some money." And he wrote me a commission check for everything that I had earned, and he had given it to me. Listen, I didn't have to stomp. I didn't have to break his windows, flatten his tires. I didn't have to kidnap his kids and hold them for ransom. Huh? Y'all hearing me? I didn't have to cuss him out on Facebook. Huh? Huh? That's what we have a tendency to do. I didn't call him bad names. I didn't run down to the local watering hole and get gravy and biscuits and talk bad about him. I worked with him. I did my job. I came to work every day, and I went through a time of fasting and prayer and said, "God, I have a need in my life," and the Holy Spirit did the work. Listen, the Holy Ghost will do the work if you'll fast and pray. He'll do the work. You don't have to say anything or do anything. And it was an amazing, through that time of fasting and prayer, God had opened the door for me and my wife both. And in 2006, another job opened up that for a year financially blessed us. 2008, my wife got a job with a company that through 2007 and 8 blessed us. And so through those times of fasting and prayer and tithing and sowing in those times and seeking God, God would supernaturally take care of us. And believe me, it wasn't anything that we were doing that was good. It was just that we decided to believe the Word of God, and in a time of prayer and fasting, put our hope in Him, and we were able to do things that we could not do ourselves. It released the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. We begin to see the gifts of the Spirit work in our lives. I've not told this story too much, but before I asked my wife to marry me, 7 days before I proposed, I fasted 7 days. You say, "Were you afraid?" Well, yeah, but hey. I'm telling you, I fasted 7 days before I proposed to her. Did I not do that? Well, maybe you don't know. She thinks she remembers. Because why did I fast? It wasn't because I was nervous. It was because I needed to hear from God. I needed to hear the voice of God. I needed to make sure that as beautiful as she was, that there wasn't something under there that would come out later and stab me in the middle of the night and find me dead somewhere. I was making sure there was nothing in her that was going to rise up and kill me later. So I fasted and prayed, and God said, "That's the one." So I knew I was going to be all right. It's a good thing. That's right. She said it's a good thing. There's times she's probably felt like it. But what happened was, in the middle of that fast, while I was praying and I was getting ready to ask her to marry me, the Lord spoke to me something specific. And it was something specific. And I thought, "Lord, if this is you, it'll be you." And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about something in her life. And all of a sudden, she confirmed that, and I knew it was God. He spoke to me through His Spirit and gave me a word of knowledge. And I knew that when she spoke that thing, it was a confirmation that the Lord had spoken to me. Listen, God will speak to you. God will release the gifts of the Spirit into your life if you'll trust Him and pray and fast. Listen, this time of fasting and prayer as a church is more than just denying ourselves of food. It's unlocking something in this city, in this generation, in this church that God can... What we're doing is giving God permission to move supernaturally in this house. How many want God to move supernaturally in here? How many want God to deliver people from things that have been bothering them, tormenting them, keeping them under for years? How many like to see drug addicts set free, alcoholics set free, homes put back together, children get saved, come to Christ? Mm-hmm. Woo. We'll get me wound up on Thursday. I'm going to back off. A friend of mine was telling the story. Now I know I may be freaking some of y'all out with these stories. A friend of mine took a soccer team to China. And he took a soccer team to China to go play these Chinese, teenage Chinese national players. And he took this soccer team, but he took the soccer team under the guise of sneaking in Bibles to China. They had 33 suitcases full of Bibles. And they were smuggling them into China. Now, he's got 20 teenagers, 33 suitcases of Bibles. He's smuggling them into China. And if he gets caught, he's going to jail. Y'all understand that? He fasted for 40 days before they went. Listen, they weren't going to play soccer. They were going to share Jesus. Soccer was just the avenue that God was using. So he fasted 40 days. There's only a few people that I know that have fasted 40 days. He said he fasted 40 days, and in the middle of his fast, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night, and an angel appeared to him. He said, and an angel spoke to him and said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I will keep you safe while you're there. And that angel disappeared immediately. It messed him up so bad he didn't leave the house for 2 days. But he was in the 30th day of that prayer and fasting. So he gathered these kids up. He went to China. He got to China. They all got there. They got to Beijing. And they checked in, and they arrived there. And when they got there, they let the underground church know that they had these Bibles. And they set up a time. They got there on a Friday, and they were to deliver the Bibles the next Wednesday. So they brought all of those suitcases up into the hotel room and put them in a side room. And went on with their business, thinking that Wednesday they would connect with the underground churches. But while he was sleeping one night, and praying, all of a sudden, he awoken. And he walked into the room, and he saw a mass picture of angels. That almost, he said it was like an angel on each suitcase. He said it was like an angel that protected each suitcase. And he said the angel that spoke to him at home said to him, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you won't get caught. He said, these Bibles are not to be delivered on Wednesday. These Bibles are to be delivered tomorrow. So he immediately woke up and contacted the underground church. And through some scattering and through some difficulty of that day, they took all of those suitcases, piled them in a van, transferred them from a van to another van. And they got them to where they were supposed to go on Sunday. They were supposed to play a soccer match. They barely got back in time for the soccer match. All of a sudden, Monday morning, the door, knocked at the door. It was Chinese nationals that came in and said, we heard that you are smuggling Bibles. And they said, we want to look in your room. And this was on Monday. And they walked in and all those Bibles had been delivered. Listen, he had fasted for 40 days. Had he not fasted and prayed, had he not heard with the Holy Spirit to speak to him, he may be in jail today. We never know. But isn't it amazing how God directs and speaks to us through the Holy Spirit? How it releases the gifts of the Spirit that are in our lives. How God works and how God changes the lives of people through fasting and prayer. It will release the gifts of the Spirit that are in our lives. Hallelujah. Whoo, I'm getting blessed. I'm getting blessed. What I forgot to tell you is that... They had a tour guide who was actually a plant, an underground plant who was a tour leader. And that angel had told him to watch out for that guy and to not give him any insider information. Matter of fact, every day that tour leader wanted to come to his room. Every day that tour leader was always asking questions. And God had warned him about it. Now you say, well, that's just, you know, he had too much pizza. Well, you can believe what you want. The fact is, hundreds of Bibles got delivered in China. And whether they got there, God got them there. And so we rejoice in that. Number four is fasting will break poverty. Now this is important because there are certain things that are strongholds that seem to be real strongholds that fasting and prayer have to be. Poverty is one of those things that come upon a city, it comes upon generations, it comes upon people groups, and it locks people into a system. It locks them into a mentality. And it's a strong, and the reason why poverty is so strong, because sometimes it's many, many generations of poverty, and it's like a flower that's tentacles and roots get really deep, and they're hard to break loose. Poverty is a strong thing, and fasting and prayer can break poverty. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, you don't have to turn there for sake of time. I know I got to hurry. Jesus spoke these words after he came out of the wilderness in 40 days. And it says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he said, for I have come and to set the captive free and to preach the gospel to the poor. It was the first thing Jesus addressed when he came out of a time of prayer and fasting, was to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen, giving and fasting will destroy lack in your life. Tithing and offering with fasting and prayer will unlock God's abundance for your life, and there won't be want or lack. I don't have to preach to you. You know that the time of prayer and fasting and giving is connected, that God will destroy lack in our lives through our faith and giving. A number of years ago, there was a revival that hit Guatemala. And it was a little city in Guatemala called Alamanga. It was a small city. It was an impoverished city. It was a city that was full of... it had like 20,000 people in it. And it was a city that was just full. They were descendants of these Mayan Indians. And they were a community that was gripped by poverty, alcoholism. There was a community that was gripped by disease and witchcraft. All of these is what defined this city. And matter of fact, that they were so poor in this city that they would rummage through the trash of other cities that was taken to a dump that was not far away. Hundreds and hundreds of people would come out of that city every day and walk over into this trash dump that represented the Guatemalan city, big city in Guatemala, and they would go there, and that's how they would eat, many of them. That's how poor the city was. Matter of fact, there was an idol that was worshipped there called Maximin. He was a wooden idol that the people would carry with them. Isn't it amazing that in the 1980s, there would be people that would still be carrying wood idols that they would worship? He was the god of drink, and he was the god of the land, is what they said. They would sacrifice to this idol. They would give things. If they ever got good food, they would sacrifice it to this idol. And it was interesting. They would make clay masks that represented this idol, and many of them on certain days would wear this mask. In the city, there were 34 bars. There were 4 jails. There were no banks at all in this city. And in the 1980s, a spirit-filled preacher came through by the name of Morano Riscate. And he came and he began to preach. God spoke to him and said, I want you to go on a 40-day fast and pray for this city. So he began to fast and pray for 40 days. He probably didn't have much to eat anyway. And so he began to pray and began to fast and pray. After 40 days, there was a witch doctor in the city that got saved. He was a witch doctor that was kind of the witch doctor over the whole city. He got saved and transformed. He got full of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, he began to transform. And he took this man aside. And his testimony is that he spent a whole day dealing with the demons that were in this witch doctor. Now, how would you like to deal with a demon all day long? And the man got free and got on fire for God. This witch doctor just went totally transformed. Matter of fact, this witch doctor began to be persecuted and beaten. They knocked his teeth out. He began to preach. And revival came to the city, and 90% of the city got saved. Over the course of 2 years, every bar closed. Every jail began to empty out. All of a sudden, there became a fertility in the soil that literally changed the city. You can Google this. You can Google this and then read this. It's an incredible story. All of a sudden, incredible prosperity began to become to the city because they would continue to come together and fast and pray as a city. 90% of the people came to Jesus in 2 years. How many would say that's a revival? All of a sudden, they began to grow things. And the fertility in the soil became the most fertile in all of Guatemala. They began to grow fruit. They said the cabbages were as big as people's heads. They said the carrots were like people's arms. They said all of a sudden, look, there it is right there. Look at that. All of a sudden, the poverty city, all of a sudden the fertility, and now they are the export city throughout all of Guatemala for all the fruits. There are more millionaires per capita that live in Amanga than there is in anywhere else in Guatemala. It's because somebody went in and believed God and trusted God. Somebody went in and fasted and prayed and began to believe that God could do something in the midst of the city. They began to fast and pray and trust God and believe that God could transform and turn around their city through fasting and prayer. God opened the door for them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that blows my mind. 90% of the people got saved. The transformation. All of this happened in a short span of time. Listen, I want to tell you, Isaiah 58 is the passage of Scripture that deals with corporate fasting. And there's a passage there somewhere down in there that says when you begin to fast and pray, when you begin to fast, all of a sudden when you begin to trust God, through fasting, God can expedite your deliverance. See, fasting and prayer helps, right? We all know prayer helps, right? But when you fast and pray, God can expedite your deliverance. He can speed up the cause and the deliverance that comes. When you fast and pray, He can bring a quicker deliverance through our obedience. It's a powerful thing. And God is faithful. I want to close with this tonight. Talking about fasting and prayer. Proverbs 13:12 is a powerful scripture. This is what it says. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is as a tree of life, it says. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire of it comes, it is as a tree of life. That's a powerful scripture. You know why it's a powerful scripture? Because sometimes our prayers get delayed. Sometimes our hope turns to discouragement. Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you felt prayed so long and you felt like the hope that you were praying for was deferred and put on the shelf? Have you ever felt like that what you were believing God for, all of a sudden you didn't see that hope was coming to pass? You didn't see that there was any movement in that area of prayer that you've been praying, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be praying for someone you love, whether it be a breakthrough in your finances or a breakthrough somewhere in your life, and all of a sudden hope was deferred. It says it makes the heart sick. To make the heart sick, the word actually means to bring a level of hopelessness. To bring a level. Has anybody ever been there? Has anybody ever been there? And it's when it's turned into hopelessness. All of a sudden. Listen, there are a lot of times when hope deferred has caused people to leave church. There's a lot of times when hope deferred has called people to give up on God. There's a lot of time that hope deferred has brought frustration in people's lives for long periods of time, which has led them to depression and led them into places of things like bitterness, hard-heartedness, such discouragement that they become almost abandoned to even hearing the voice of God. But the Bible says, but when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. And the thing is, fasting and prayer, there's an interesting word that's in the Old Testament. And fasting and prayer, when you fast and pray, one of the root words in the Greek, it means to stand in the gap. So when we pray and fast, we're not just praying for our needs, of course. But what we do is when we corporately pray, we're standing in the gap for the needs of not just us and not just what this congregation needs. And even though all of us at times we have things we need and we pray for and we want to see breakthrough in, but corporate fasting is about fasting and standing in the gap where no one is standing. To stand in the gap for this city and believe God can deal with the drug problem. To stand in the gap that God can deal with the spirit of divorce. That God could deal with the different principalities that are here. So when we fast, we stand in the gap. And the Lord spoke something to me. I thought, that's interesting, because when you stand in the gap, you take hope that is deferred in people's life, and you make it a desire that comes. Because people walk in and they're hopeless. People walk in, they've lost all hope, right? But when we pray and fast, we stand in the gap and we give hope back to where there is no hope. And a desire can come, and it can be as a tree of life. So prayer and fasting can position us to be hope for people. It can position us to help pray for them that the desire that they want to come can come. So I want to encourage you as we begin to step into this season of prayer and fasting that we're just not doing it religiously, but we're doing it because we believe God can do great things in our lives. Adam, if you'll come, stand with me if you would tonight. And I would just want to pray a prayer over you. I just want to pray tonight that we bind and rebuke and cast out every stubborn demon that would attempt to hold on to your life and my life. Every stronghold that has rooted itself in. We uproot every stronghold in our lives in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 15. We command every yoke to be shattered and to be broke in the name of Jesus. We break this power of pride and arrogance. We break the strongholds. We break the power of iniquity in families. The stubbornness of those deep-rooted iniquities that attempt to control the lives of generations. Not just some families, but enrooted in people's lives. One of the strongholds of my family is suicide. Almost every generation for a number of years back, somebody in that family line has committed suicide. It's been around our family. My father was 22 years old, sitting at a table with his five brothers and sisters, and my grandfather walked in greeted everybody in the family and walked to the back bedroom and shot himself. With teenagers at the table, no one ever knew what was bothering him. My father dated a gal that owned the nightclub. They went out to steak dinner one night. They got into the car. My father opened the door for her. She kissed him and said, "I love you." He shut the door. He got in on the other side. And when he started the car, she blew her brains out right there in his lap. I had a great uncle walk into a bar in Bromley, Kentucky, and shoot himself in the doorway. And they drug him out of the bar and drug him up on the hill in Constance, Kentucky, and just buried him right there as though nobody cared. There are strongholds that get a hold of families and want to dominate, and the spirit, alcoholism, divorce, all of these things, addictions, want to hold on to generation after generation. But Jesus said some of these can only come out through fasting and prayer. Are you ready to stand in the gap and pray and fast for this city and generation? Put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray for everyone in this room. Your word says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Lord, I pray that every desire of your people would come true. Every prayer would be answered. Every breakthrough would be seen. We declare today that every generational curse that is in our family stops right here. Our children will not have to suffer the curses of the generations that have been behind us. We bind alcoholism. We bind drug abuse. We bind divorce. We divine anger and bitterness. We bind it, wrap it up in the blood of Jesus, and we cast it out. We bind mental illness and poverty. We speak to lack. We speak to addictions. We speak to mindsets. We speak to pride and arrogance. And we bind those things. And Lord, we pray that God, that when that desire thing comes, it shall be as a tree of life. A tree of life never dies. We pray a tree of life in all of our lives that'll never die. And so Lord, in this time of fasting and prayer, whether someone fasts a day, or whether they fast a meal, or whether they give up TV, or whether they give up coffee, or whether they give up whatever thing that you would have them to do, Lord, we pray that you would bind us together like never before. This is a strategic time of prayer and fasting. And we believe that in 2017, this church will explode into the purpose that you've called us to. Hope will not be deferred in this church. There will be no hopelessness. There will be no disappointment and frustration. There'll be just victory. So Lord, we thank you. Everyone who has their hand on their heart, I pray a prayer of peace and breakthrough. So Lord, we declare, we put a stake in the ground. We say, this is God's territory. My heart belongs to God. And generations after me belong to God. My children belong to God. My grandchildren belong to God. My future children, my generations after me belong to God. And we declare it now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering? Come on, give Him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't it fun being saved? It's fun knowing Jesus.